This is Insight, celebrating its 15th year on CAP Radio. I'm Beth Ruyak. Sheila Jordan has had an amazing career. In 1962, the jazz singer and songwriter was signed to the legendary Blue Note Records. In fact, she was the first artist to be signed to that label. Her unique singing style brought her much acclaim, and she's still singing now at 90 years old. CAP Radio's jazz music director, Gary Vercelli, talked with her earlier this year, and she told the story about how that signing to Blue Note Records came about.
That was George Russell. He made a demo tape of me and took it to Mercury. Quincy Jones was the A&R man. And then he took it to Blue Note, and Blue Note picked it up. And I don't know, they just thought I had a lot of feeling and depth.
Baltimore Oriole took a look at the Mercury, 40 below. No life for a lady to be dragging her feathers around in the snow. Leaving her mate, she flew straight to the Tangipahoa, where two diamond jaybirds met the divine Miss O. I'd like to ruffle his plumage, Baltimore Oriole. Messed around with that jaybird till he singed her wings.
You've done a lot of duets with just your voice and the bass.
Yes, and I am the pioneer of the bass and voice. I actually started it in the 50s. When I was still studying with Lenny Tristano, I used to do like bass and voice, try ideas out up there with the bass students.
I wanted to ask you about pianist Lenny Tristano because he's such a legendary figure.
Yes.
Tell me any kind of anecdotes about him. I'd love to hear.
He was a great teacher. I remember my first lesson with Lenny was, okay, this is your lesson. I want you to learn a Charlie Parker head. I said, which one? He said, now's the time. I said, I know it. He said, well, sing it if you know it. You know, and I said, okay, and I sang it. He said, oh, you do know it. And then he said, well, how about Prez? I said, oh, Lester Young? No, I don't know him. So he said, okay, that's your first lesson. He was just a great teacher, you know. One thing he told me was that I should get rid of the certain person that I was married to at the time, and I was very insulted. But he was dead right, because the person that I was with was a terrible heroin addict. And he was thinking that I should take care of myself and not support a junkie. Mm-hmm. So he was right in that respect. But I got very angry with him. And that's when I stopped studying with him, because I felt he was messing with my personal life. But he was dead right. He was right on the money.
When you were walking down the hall here in our studios, you noticed we have a lot of famous musicians.
Yes, I did.
And you said, where's Bird?
That's right.
So tell us, what is the magic of Charlie Parker that first
attracted
you?
He's the reason I sit here.
In what sense?
It wasn't another singer. I love Billie Holiday's my favorite singer because of her depth and emotion. I really felt her. Ella Fitzgerald, nobody sings or sang like Ella Fitzgerald. But Bird is... I was 14 when I heard Charlie Parker on a jukebox. And I was in high school, and I put this nickel in because I saw now's the time. Charlie Parker and his reboppers. I said, oh, that sounds interesting. And I was singing, but I didn't know what kind of music I wanted to sing. But, you know, there were good tunes in those days because all of the great songwriters were just coming up on the scene, you know, or were on the scene, popular. And I heard Now's the Time, and I said, oh, that's the music I'll dedicate my life to. Wow. Whether I sing it, whatever, or just support it.
Now, you've worked as an administrative assistant. Was this just to make ends meet?
That's right. I had a daughter to support. Uh-huh. I was married to Duke Jordan. We had a child together, but he had a very serious drug problem, and he wasn't there for us. So I had to raise my daughter by myself. And so in order to support my daughter, I couldn't do it through music because, you know, I made $6 a night singing in this little club in the village. By the time I paid a babysitter and took a taxi home at 4 o'clock in the morning, what, are you going to live on a dollar?
Yeah.
I don't think so. So I knew that I had to do that, but it was okay. I figured I'll support the music till it can support me. Hey, it might never support me. I don't know.
But then when you're in your 50s, you turn to music full time. Is that correct?
Well, the only reason I turned to music when I was, I think I was more closer to 60. I was working for Doyle Dane Birnbeck, a great advertising agency. They were so hip. And anytime they wanted a commercial that had to have a jazz sound, they would call me up to do it.
Of course.
And then I would make extra money, you know. But the office job, I'm glad I took typing in high school because it saved my life. You know, I was able to pay for my rent, my food, and put my daughter through school. So it was cool. But I worked there until I think I was, I can't remember whether I was 60 or 61 or what it was, but they were merging with another company, and they called me in and they said, Sheila, we're going to get rid of the department that you're working in, but you can go around and be a floater and work for different people typing, or you can take a year's pay, you know, and leave, whatever you want to do. And this little voice said, take the money.
Yeah, so
take the money and run and go do the music.
One door closed, you know, and another door opened. Huh?
And that's what I did.
Wonderful.
I didn't know whether I was going to find, you know, work in music full time, but I did.
We're talking with Sheila Jordan, and Sheila, you've mentored a lot of musicians, and you also do a lot of workshops with young students.
I started two workshops. I started one in Vermont, thanks to a wonderful guitarist, Attila Zola. He didn't like singers, but he liked me. And Eugene Newman, who was working for him at the time, was a very young pianist at that time, said, why don't we have Sheila come up and do a workshop with singers? And he said, oh, I don't know about that. Well, maybe. So mm-hmm. I did a workshop for 2 days, and it was very successful. And so then after that, we started a workshop. And I also took over a workshop, thanks to Max Roach and Dr. Billy Taylor, in University of Mass, Jazz in July, it's called. So I still do that for 2 weeks. And I started the first jazz vocal workshop at City College in New York City. John Lewis got me into City College. I had never taught before. I don't have degrees in music. I haven't been to college, mm-hmm. you know, but I said, I can't. How can I do that, John? I don't have a degree in music. He said, teach what you do. Teach what you know. And the classical teacher was there, Janet Still, and she said, Sheila, we need you. Come, just do what you do. Show them what you do. And I said, okay. And that's what I did.
Now, you're in your early 90s, but
I'm 90.
You look very vibrant to me. And what's
it's only a number.
What's the secret of
jazz, man?
It'll either kill you or keep you alive. Huh?
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I'm very careful. I don't drink. I don't use drugs. I mean, I'm not saying at one time I didn't. I had a very serious problem with alcohol, but I don't do that anymore.
Did music help bring you out of it?
Oh, absolutely. I had a spiritual awakening, and I was coming out of a very, very rough night before, so to speak, and it said, you know, I gave you a gift, and if you don't take care of it, I'm going to take it away and give it to somebody else. And man, I jumped up. I said, oh my God, what is that? It was a voice. I went for help, and I've been sober 33 years.
Wow.
Just celebrated in January.
Wonderful.
Well, this is January, right, the 16th. Yeah, so, you know, I was very lucky.
Sheila, it's been a real pleasure getting to know you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
She's an original, legendary jazz singer and songwriter, Sheila Jordan, talking to Cap Radio's Gary Vercelli earlier this year. You can hear more of our favorite conversations in celebration of Insight's 15th birthday at capradio.org/insight. And that's Insight for today. I'm Beth Ruyak. Insight is produced by Kate Gonzalez and Cody Drabble. We had help from Helen Barrington, Paul Conley, and Antonio Munez. Our technical director is Mark Jones. Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. Thanks for joining us.